We're going to read Luke chapter 5 and from verse 1 to verse 11. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the lake of Galilee, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they put their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, on Wednesday at the Holiday Bible Club, we heard all about Peter, whose other name was Simon. So where we just read about Simon, that's the same person. Sometimes we call him Simon Peter. And he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Now, who can remember? We just reminded ourselves, what did Peter do wrong later in life? Any of the children can tell me? Yes? He denied knowing Jesus, and he did that how many times? Yes? Three times. But what happened after that? You really should know this by the end. Yes? Jesus forgave him, and he was still on the team of disciples, wasn't he? Well, this morning we're going to go right back to the beginning of the story with Peter. And we're going to see when Simon Peter first started to follow Jesus, when he first became a friend of Jesus and became a disciple. Now, every follower of Jesus, still today, has their own unique story. And no one has a story like Peter's, but no one has a story like anyone else when it comes to how they came to know Jesus. Of course, in those days, when Jesus was on earth, in some ways it was a little easier because they could see Jesus. They could go up to him and they could talk with him. But in other ways, it was harder to come to know Jesus and to see who he really was, because there's something that we know about Jesus that Peter didn't yet know. Any ideas what that is? We've mentioned it already this morning. Something about Jesus that Simon Peter didn't yet know. Something that happened to Jesus. Any ideas? Yes? He died for us. Okay. But what happened after that? He came back to life. Now that is pretty unusual, isn't it, Samuel? I don't think you or I know anyone who's come back to life apart from Jesus. And that really showed the world that Jesus was the Son of God. And of course, because Jesus is alive, we can know him now. Even though we can't see him with our eyes, he is alive and we can talk to him. That's what we call prayer. And we can know him. And we can know him speaking to us as we read his words in the Bible. So we can get to know Jesus in a similar way to the way in which Simon Peter did. And we get to know him and we become more aware of what he is like, and we realize that he deals with us in our lives. And what I want to do this morning is to look at the story of how Simon Peter came to know Jesus and see that even though that was a unique story for Peter, there are certain things about it that are true for people today. And we're going to think about this by looking at what Peter saw in Jesus and how Peter saw more and more about Jesus. So the first way that Peter saw Jesus was that he saw him as a teacher and healer. Now, come back with me all those years ago to the Lake of Galilee. And it was the morning, maybe the sun was out, maybe the sky was blue, maybe the sun was shining, reflecting off the lake, the water on the Lake of Galilee. And there were two boats there, you can imagine the waves lapping against the boats that were on the shore. And there's Peter, there's James and John, who are his partners, and they're mending their nets because they've been fishing all night. But it's quite a crowded morning. They're not used to all these people milling around on the shore. And they wonder what's going on. The crowd gets bigger and bigger, and then they realize Jesus was in town and was starting to teach the people. And the crowds were vast. And in fact, it was so crowded that Jesus, who was right by the water's edge at this point, was starting to get his feet wet. And so he climbed into one of the boats. And he said to Simon Peter, "Do you mind just pushing the boat out a little bit into the water so that I can see the people and I can teach them from the boat?" Well, can you imagine how Simon Peter felt? Wow. Imagine if Jesus came to Oxford and he wanted a cup of tea. Imagine if he asked to have a cup of tea at your house. You would have felt pretty special. And I'm sure Simon Peter was beaming from ear to ear that Jesus asked to go in his boat. Peter was more than happy for Jesus to be in his boat. You see, Simon Peter had already known about Jesus because in the previous chapter we read how Simon Peter's relative, his mother-in-law, had been very ill. And Jesus had come and healed her. And wow, if someone came and healed one of your relatives, you would be very, very pleased. And so Peter is delighted that Jesus has come in his boat, and Peter sees Jesus as this great teacher and this great healer. But we're going to see that Jesus wanted Peter to go further than that. In fact, it was no use to Peter if he just stayed thinking that Jesus was a teacher and a healer. Just as Jesus wants each of us to see him as more than just a great teacher from all those years ago and a great healer who was able to make people well. You see, lots of people today are happy to quote things that Jesus said. In fact, very often people quote Jesus without realizing it. Phrases like, "Go the extra mile." Well, that's something that Jesus said. Or, "Turn the other cheek." Or, "Do to others what you would have them do to you." These are things that Jesus taught. And people are very happy with that sort of teaching. And some people are even ready to pray to Jesus when they're sick or when someone they love is sick. You know, I meet people sometimes in Marston and someone they love is not well and they say, "Please, would you pray for that person?" When you're not well, you know, you might even be ready to pray to Jesus that he could make you better. But Jesus wants us to go further than that, not just to see him as a great teacher and a great healer. So here we come to the second thing. First of all, Peter sees Jesus as a teacher and healer. But secondly, Peter sees Jesus as a meddler. Now, does anyone know what a meddler is? Someone who meddles. What's a meddler? Any idea what a meddler is? Don't worry if you get it wrong. It's not a word we use every day, is it? Any ideas? If someone meddles with something that you're doing, what do they do? Yes, Emily. excellent. You kind of get involved with someone when they don't really want you there. So imagine you're doing a drawing, Emily. What do you like drawing, Emily? You like drawing? Yeah. What sort of pictures do you like doing? Pictures of... You like colouring them in. Well, if you like doing it, you're probably quite good at that. But you imagine one of your friends comes up and said, "Oh, I think you need to do that one a different colour. You've chosen the wrong colour there." What you you think, "Look, I know how to colour in a picture. I've been doing this for ages." And you don't want that person to start meddling. Or perhaps you're playing a game. You and your friend, and someone else comes along and said, "Oh, bad move that. Oh, I know what you should do." And you don't like it when people do that, do you? They're kind of meddling, interfering, poking their nose in. Well, this is what Jesus seems to do. Let me just read to you verse 4. "When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything.'" You see, Jesus seems to be meddling in Peter's fishing business. He'd been working all night. He'd been working hard all night and had not caught a single fish, not even a little minnow, if they had minnows in Lake Galilee. I've no idea what sort of fish they had there. And Peter probably felt like saying something, "Look, I know what I'm doing here. I've been fishing many times before and there just aren't any fish in that lake. And don't you realise, Jesus, that daytime is the worst time to go fishing because the fish can see the net. What's the point of putting the net into the water in the middle of the day? Why mess up these nets that we've just been washing clean? There just are no fish there. You're a great teacher, Jesus. You're a great healer. But when it comes to fishing, I might just have the edge." Now, Peter didn't say any of that. He was too polite to say things like that. But you get the feeling that his pride was ruffled. Because what he does say is, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Thankfully, Peter restrained himself. He might have thought, "Who does Jesus think he is?" And you know, it could be the same for us. Because as you're getting to know Jesus, the point comes when Jesus seems to meddle in your life. He seems to interfere with something in your life, and you don't want him to start interfering with that part of your life. He might be a good teacher, but there are certain areas of my life that I don't want him to interfere with. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt that? Maybe your pride gets a little bit ruffled when Jesus starts to interfere. Especially with something that you're good at. Maybe your work. And Jesus starts to put his finger on that part of your life. Or maybe your attitude to that person at school or to that person at work. Or maybe your behaviour, the way you talk. And Jesus challenges the way in which you talk and the attitude you have to other people. Maybe he challenges how you spend your time and how you spend your money. Or maybe he challenges the things you like to believe. You know, we all have our cherished beliefs. Our beliefs about God. And our beliefs about the way to heaven. And Jesus challenges us, and we don't like it. Is there something like that in your life that Jesus' word challenges you with? Does he disturb your life? Does he make you uncomfortable? Now, you won't like it, but actually, it's a good thing. Because what it means is that Jesus is starting to interact with you. Even though you can't see him, Jesus is starting to say, "I'm interested in you." You feel he's meddling. You feel he's starting to challenge you. But what you do know is that he's got your hand on your life. Now, thankfully, Peter did not allow his pride to get the better of him. Look what he says at the end of verse 5. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Peter was ready to do what Jesus asked him to do. He was willing to trust Jesus because Jesus was the one who had told him to do that. And that's the right response. When you feel that Jesus is disturbing your life, making you feel uncomfortable, challenging something in your life, please respond to him well, like Peter. Don't respond with anger or with pride, but say, "Because you say so, I will." Are you ready to trust Jesus? Ready to change what you are doing because Jesus tells you to? You see, if you're going to really know Jesus, you're going to have to take up the challenges that he puts into your life. Now, I've been a Christian for many, many years, and I can tell you that Jesus keeps challenging me. Because sadly, I'm not yet perfect. You just ask my family, and they see the worst of me, don't they? And Jesus is always challenging me to change. And in my pride, I want to do this. He's always challenging me. But that's the only way we get to know Jesus better, and the only way we ever change. When we say, "Lord, because you say so, I will." So that's the second way Simon Peter saw Jesus. He saw him firstly as the teacher and healer, and then he sees Jesus as a kind of meddler. But thankfully, Peter responded well, because then he got to see Jesus as the Lord. Jesus, the Lord. This is the third point on your worksheet. Now picture Peter as he throws those lovely clean nets into the dirty water. And of course the water is a lot dirtier near the shore, isn't it? Well, he throws it in nonetheless. Throws it into the water, the deep part of water there, and he puts the nets in. And to his utter astonishment, there's a huge number of fish right there in that deep water. And he starts to pull in those nets. You can imagine those nets just stretching because there's such a weight of fish. And you can imagine that the boat just sinking lower and lower into the water until the water's nearly about to come over the edge of the boat as he pulls in all these fish. And he has to call for the people in the other boat, to James and John, that they would come and they too would help to bring in some of this fish. They're utterly astonished. Now, I wonder what you would have said with all those fish there. You know what Peter's going to say? "Oh, I must get this guy to join me in the fishing business. What a person to have. Oh, I could get loads of... I wouldn't even need to go fishing at night. Just, he would tell me exactly where..." None of that. No. What Peter started to think was something like this. Wow, this teacher Jesus, he could see where those fish were. He could see right into the depths of the lake. If he can see into the depths of the lake, he can see everything. And he can see into the depths of my heart. And Peter knows that he's a proud man. And Peter knows that he's a sinful man. And so what Peter says, verse 6, verse 8, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.'" He feels the sinfulness of his heart, all the wrong things that he had done, all the wrong attitudes that he had. He falls before Jesus, totally overcome. And he sees that Jesus is so much more than just a great teacher or healer. He sees that Jesus is the Lord. For the first time, he calls Jesus Lord. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He sees that Jesus is all-powerful, all-knowing. He can see everything. He sees that he can't pick and choose what he's going to accept from Jesus. When you see that Jesus is the Lord, you bow to him. You don't argue with him. When you see who Jesus really is, you get on your knees before him and you worship him. You see where Peter's come? Oh, he was very pleased to have Jesus step into his boat. His pride was ruffled when Jesus told him to throw the nets into the deep water. But when all those fish, and he caught all those fish, Peter saw that Jesus was the Lord. Now let me ask you, where are you at? Your story's going to be different. It's going to be with fish. As far as I'm aware, none of you are great fishermen or fisherwomen. But where are you at in how you really see Jesus? Are you just at the beginning? You just see him as a great teacher, someone you might even pray to if you were not well? Or has Jesus started to put his finger on areas of your life and you feel disturbed by him? You feel your pride ruffled. He challenges what you believe. He challenges how you're behaving. Well, respond well to him. Because as Jesus interacts with you more, you come to that point where you really see him for who he is. You see that he is the Lord of glory. He is the Son of God. He knows you through and through. And there's that sense in which you want to run away from him and say, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful person. But what did Jesus say to Peter then? He didn't say, go away, or I'm going away. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled up their boats onto the shore. They left everything and followed Jesus. When you see that Jesus is the Lord, that's your response. You're on your knees before him. You're not arguing with him anymore. You accept that he is the Lord of glory. And you want to follow him. You want to give up everything else for this one thing. That's what a Christian is. That's what a follower of Jesus is. Though they can't see him, though I can't see him, I've never seen Jesus with my eyes. I know Jesus. I know him putting his hand on my life, challenging me. I know his word in the Bible speaking to me. And I believe in him. I know he is the Lord. And I bow before him. I trust him. And I love him. And the relationship I have with him will go on forever and ever. And that's the relationship each one of us can have. Are you willing to bow before Jesus and to follow him, to go his way? And then you will know him, not just for this life, but forever and ever. And ever. And the way he challenges you now and changes you now, one day he will make you perfect. And in heaven, you will be perfect with him forever. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are involved in our lives. When we feel the challenge that you give to us, we thank you that you do that. Because it means you are interested in us. Help us to respond well. Help us to respond in faith. Help us to turn from the wrong things we are doing and to bow before you as the Lord. And we thank you that you promise eternal life and forgiveness to all who bow before you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a hymn in our blue hymn books as we close. It's number 676. 676. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Number 676 in the blue hymn book.